While we wait for the worship team to take their places, I'd like you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 7. You can go back to Genesis chapter 1 because it says in the beginning. And that's where we're starting today. In the beginning. You see, 2017 is finished. It is complete. And we're looking at a new beginning for 2018. Therefore, I believe that we need to start where I believe that God has much encouragement for us. And I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 7. We're going to start reading at verse 13. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, all creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. They went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female, of all flesh went in, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Folk, I want us just to look at that last few words of that last verse. And the Lord shut him in. In Genesis chapter 6, we see the wickedness of mankind, and it grieved God in his heart. He said that he would destroy mankind off the face of the earth. But there was only one family and one person who found grace in God's eyes. It was Noah and his family. Noah could build, he could preach, he could bear the ridicule and the mocking of the people. And can you imagine the mocking that was going on? Yeah, in the middle of the desert, this guy starts building this big boat. You imagine his family looking at him, shaking their heads. Imagine the neighbors. Ish. This guy's a bit Popeye. He's lost the plot. How's he going to get this down to the ocean? He preached the word of God. He took the word of God to the people, but they ignored it. And God instructed him. But as strong as he was, there was one thing he could not do. He could not shut the door. Among the millions of people in Noah's time, Noah stood alone in his faith, and God did not forget him. You see, in the hands of God, we are protected. God waited to bring destruction while the ark was being prepared. In 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteousness for the unrighteousness, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, being made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah. While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Every man was invited to enter the ark. I believe that God gave everybody the opportunity to enter that ark. Just as today, through Jesus Christ, everyone has the opportunity. It doesn't matter who you are or how wicked you are. Turn from your wicked ways and turn to Jesus. And folk, that's where we need to be. None were refused admission into the ark. Sometimes our disappointments in life can become God's appointments. The things that we think of as failures and problems can often end up being a blessing in disguise. I want us to note a few things about Noah today. Because as we face 2018, there are things in 2017 that seem to want to plague us. But even though those things were there, it was there in the time of Noah. Noah was able to overcome it. What did Noah do? What's the first thing? Noah did as God commanded him to do. And folk, I believe for you and I, we need to begin to do what God commands us to do. God will guide you if you will trust Him. You see, folks, so often we put our own lives in front of God's will. We say, Lord, what's your will for me? See, that's the wrong question to ask. You say, yeah, we've got to seek the will of God. You see, it's not our will, it's God's will. It's not our life, it's God's purpose for our lives that we need to be seeking. But before I go off track, God will guide you if you will trust Him. Put aside your desires. Put aside your wishes. You aren't just placed on earth to stumble around in the darkness to try and find what you should do. You're not here just for that. God, the God of the universe, is interested in you. You're here with a purpose. You're here with a potential. You're not here just to fall around and just to be, I'm somebody, I'm a mistake. You're not a mistake. You're a God purpose person for this world. He has a plan for you. He has a pathway for you. In Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, we read this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. What's the bet? A lot of you have New Year's resolutions. You see, that's your own understanding. How about seeking God's understanding for your New Year's resolution? Because when you start seeking God's resolution, God's way, it becomes a way of life. By the 2nd of January, if I have to ask you what your New Year's resolution was, you'll have forgotten it already. God wants to guide you, but there's a lot of confession about finding, there's a lot of confusion about finding God's will. As you seek to follow God, it will be helpful to understand the two important guiding principles. The first one is the wrong question. What is God's will for your life? Is that the question that you're asking? What's God's will for my life? You may be surprised and wondering what's wrong with that question. Here's the right question. What is God's will? You see, we look at it and we think, what's the real difference there? Can I tell you what? It's like chalk and cheese. The two questions. In the first question, the focus is on me. Me, myself and I. It's focusing on me. The second question, the focus is on God and what He is already doing in the world. Henry Beckerby points out in the book Experiencing God that God is already active in the world, and our job is to find out what God is doing and to join Him in His work. So when you ask, what is God's will? Start seeking God's face. Start finding out what God wants and what God is doing. Stop asking God to show you His will for your life. Ask Him to show you what He's doing and then join Him. That's our mission in life, is to join God and do what God's doing. Secondly, often God reveals His will in segments. When God first called Paul to take the good news to the Gentiles, He didn't tell him in all that detail. He just said to him, Paul, go. Paul went. He didn't say to Paul, go to Philippi, then to Athens, then to Corinth. God just said, go, and Paul went. As Paul traveled, God revealed each step. It's the same thing God told Noah. Build an ark. And then He gave him step by step what to do. He told Abraham of old. He said to Abraham, go. And he went. See, there are many young people here, and that includes all of us. They want God to show them the full picture of His plan for them. And I'm not looking at the teenagers or the young adults over here. I'm looking at all of us. We live in an instant society, and therefore we say, Father God, what's Your plan? But show us everything. Then we don't hear anything. It would be nice for God to say, this is where I want you to go to college. These are the classes you have to attend. This is who I want you to marry. This is the job that I want you to have. Here's where I want you to retire. And here's where I want you to be buried. But it doesn't work like that, folk. That's not God's way. Following God isn't about destiny. It's all about the journey. In Revelation chapter 3, 7 through 8, we read this. Jesus is speaking to the church of Philippi, and He identifies Himself by saying, these are the words of Him who is holy and true. What He opens, no one can shut. What He shuts, no one can open. See, I have a place placed before you an open door that no one can shut. God has placed an open door for us to go in. The invitation's there. The ark's door is standing open. The flood has not yet begun. When God is about to destroy the sin of the world, He's got a door that's open for you today. And He's saying, come in. You, yourself, nobody else can tell you to go in. So it's true that God shuts doors. I've always thought that Noah was safe inside the ark because he built it according to God's specifications. I thought that perhaps it was the strength of the gopher wood and the soundness of the architecture that ensured that the waters, the flood waters, would not come into the ark. But when I read that the Lord shut Noah in, I began to realize something else. And we cannot miss this morning. We cannot miss this. Even though Noah may have built the ark, It was God himself who shut him in and in to shut out the waters of the flood. You see, God shuts out the waters of 2017 that come flooding in. God shuts out that which is destructive for you and I. And he calls us into the ark, to that place of protection, that place of learning, that place where we receive understanding for ourselves that we might grow. You see, church, it's not the fact that you lock your house that keeps you safe at night. It's not your good driving that keeps you safe on the road. Neither is it your good eating habits that keep you healthy. Only God can shut you in and shut out the devil and who seeks to devour you. May God shut us in and shut out all the enemies around us as we obey him and trust in his word. Sometimes our disappointments in life come because sometimes our disappointments in life can become God's appointments. So don't let closed doors bother you. If God has closed the door, he'll open another one. I think the things we think of as failures and problems can often end up being a blessing in disguise. You see, folk, God cares for you. And he wants you to know that. Got Noah to build an ark because he wanted to save Noah from the floods of the world. He wanted to destroy the sin of the world. And if we go on and read down, right down to verse 24 of chapter 7, we see that for 150 days the water was on the earth. There was a storm, a torrential storm, where the wells and everything flooded that brought the waters to the height of the highest peaks, that there was about 150 meters below it. So nothing could survive. If you were the strongest swimmer, you couldn't survive that for 150 days. You'd starve. You'd drown. The animals drowned. All that was not in the ark drowned and died. You see, folk, that's what 2017 is about. It's over. It's finished. The flood is there. And every time the water rose higher, what happened? The ark rose with it. Are you inside the ark or are you outside the ark today? Noah had faith in what God was going to be doing. I want to give you three sources for finding God's will. Firstly, the one is a good one. It's a good source. Your circumstances. Circumstances can often be God's external guide for us. This is often called God's providential guidance. Sometimes we can determine God's will by looking at circumstances to see that seem to reveal the opened and the closed doors. God has promised in Psalm 32:38-39, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. That word watch over is to scrutinize. The key is to have such an intimate walk with the Lord that he can guide you with his eyes. The second point is this, which is much better, is the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit dwells inside his children. So this is his internal guide. It's interesting that in Acts 16, Luke writes that the Holy Spirit prevented Paul from going to Asia Minor. He then writes that Paul was prevented by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ are one and the same. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus as well as the Spirit of the living God. You see, in John 14 and 3:16, Jesus promised He would send the Holy Spirit who would guide the disciples. As He spoke about the Holy Spirit in John 14:18, He said, "You know Him, for He lives with you." That was Jesus in the flesh. "And will be in you," that's the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit of Jesus. It means that we need to listen for that still small voice. If we are seeking God's guidance, He will speak to us. In Isaiah 30, verse 21, God says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" Have you ever heard God's still small voice? When God speaks to your heart, He usually doesn't employ an audible voice. It's louder than that. The problem with many of us is that God is speaking. We just aren't listening very carefully. You know, as the ladies would say, the husbands have selective hearing. I think that goes with all of us many times when God speaks to us. Are you tuned in to hear the Master's voice? If you're a child of God, you will learn to recognize His voice. You see, in Bible times, the shepherd would take his sheep and he would talk to them and they would learn to hear His voice. They would know Him as their shepherd. And when He comes to the kraal or wherever you take the sheep to, we're taking the sheep to, He'd call them. And they'd hear His voice and they'd go to Him and they'd enter in. See, Jesus used that same analogy in John 10:27. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." And I believe the best way and the third way is this, is God's Word. Circumstantial guidance is good. The Holy Spirit is better. For the very best is to read and study the Bible. It is God's eternal guide. The way you find God's will in the Bible is not flopping the Bible open and saying, "Okay, I'll read here." No, that's not for me, I'll read there. It's not the way to do it. It's to take verse by verse, study it, learn it, and begin to hear as God begins to speak to you through the Scriptures. We need to be consistent students. Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105 says, "I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Reading God's word will teach you the wrong path. God's word teaches you what not to do as much as it teaches you how to learn and listen and live. The last point that I come to this morning is this. The ark is a signal to the sinner. It's there for you and I. It's a warning of danger coming to the sinner. Who built it? Who built it? I want to tell you, folk, God built it. Even though Noah may have done the physical work, God still built it. Because it's when you come to that ark, that time in your life. There have been several arks in life, but there's one today that we need to take a note of. The ark today is Jesus Christ, our living Savior. And He's got that ark for you and I. You see, the flood was coming. Noah had warned the people, but they would not listen. The invitation was open and ready for them. The door was open. The invitation was there. Is it possible for many of the builders that many of the builders were destroyed? We may have the means of ensuring safety to others and be lost ourselves. And as I look at this, I can just visualize month by month, Noah looking upon the hundreds of people still continuing in their sin. You see, Noah could build, he could preach, bear the ridicule and the mocking of the people. As strong as he was, there was one thing he could not do. And that he could not shut the door. Within a short moment of time, man would be clamoring for admittance. And folk, I believe as we look at 2018, many prophecies have happened. There's only one or two that are left. But I want to tell you the time for admittance is right now. Time to give our lives over to Jesus Christ is right now. We can't play the fool. We cannot just listen and say, tomorrow's another day. I want to tell you today is the first day for the rest of your life. Today we say goodbye to the 2017. We're facing 2018. And we do not know what is going to happen. And I want to tell you that while people celebrate and get themselves all swinging through the tree leaves, I believe the challenge goes out to you this morning. Rather than going to all these raves and these parties tonight, why don't you get on your knees and seek Jesus for 2018? Why don't we seek Jesus and say, Father, what is your will? What are you doing that I need to be part of? Father God, please give me guidance to fulfill your potential for me in 2018. Folk, just as Noah could not shut the door, I believe he stood there looking at his neighbors and probably some distant family and friends. What's going through his mind as he stands there? The ark is ready. The animals are coming in two by two. You see, the ark was their only means of salvation that they had neglected. Perhaps shutting the door might have been more than what he could have done. And God shut that door. God shut that door. When God shuts the door, judgment falls. There's another door today that opens. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter him in, he shall be saved. To the church of Philadelphia in Revelation 3:8, I know thy works. Behold, I set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. To Laodicean Church, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. Soon God shall shut the door of opportunity. Today is a day of salvation. God is looking at this present world also. You must enter in, for today the door is open. Soon God shall shut the door. Have you come through the door? God awaits you. God is waiting for you. The door is open. Why not come through that door today? You see, the ark was graced by God's presence. Noah was not commanded to go into the ark. He was invited to come into the ark. God was not on the outside saying, go in, I'll watch you. Or follow me, I'm the leader, follow me, I'm right behind you. God's not saying that. God's not saying that. God was on the inside saying, come in and I'll be with you today. The ark did not and could not go down because God was on board. There was nothing about the ark that could save it from the storm. The only thing about it was that God was on the inside of the ark. His presence was there. And he's saying to you and I today, come in, because I'll be with you. And he's saying, come in. Come into the ark. Because 2018 has things that you don't need in your life. Come in and I will be with you. Matthew 8:25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him and said, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the wind and the seas, and there was a great calm. You see, folk, inside the ark, there's a great calm because of the very presence of the living God. The ark was guarded by the power of God. In Genesis 7:16, and they went in male and female and all flesh as God had commanded him, and God shut him in. You see, God shut that door that the flood could not come in. Folk, I believe it's time as we prepare for 2018 to get into the ark that we can hear what God is saying, that we can see the power of God as he begins to open the door. Because when they, after the 150 days of water that was so deep, God let the ark rest. And after a number of more days, God opened the door. And when they walked out, they walked onto a new land. Land filled with milk and honey. A land that God had set there for them. Beautiful. New green. The plants were already budding. The fruit was there for them to eat. He let the animals out and they went out. You see, when we go out from the ark, from the presence of God, we know what God's calling us to do. We know what God wants us to do. My challenge to you today is come into the ark, hear from God, live in the presence of God today and tomorrow. That when we do go into the fast, it will be something very special for you and I. It's our challenge for 2018. It says, let's take the city. I believe we're standing on that brink. We're right there. Folk, we can take the city. Do you agree with me? I didn't hear you. Folk, we can do that. It's the God we serve. The ark was guided by the plan of God. The flood was 40 days on the earth. The water increased and bore the ark up. Was lifted above the earth. The flood rose higher and higher. Verse 20 tells us that the flood eventually was about 22 feet. What's that? About 44 meters above the highest mountain peak. Do you know what? The ark was still flowing, floating, because the presence of God was in the ark. Where do you want to find yourself today, folk? In John 10:9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pleasure. You see, the door has two sides. Even though it's only one, it has two sides. I'm on the inside. Where are you? Where are you? And I'm asking this in a challenging way. Where are you today? Let's walk in. God is inviting you in today. Let's enjoy His presence. Let's bow our heads. I'll ask the worship team to come up. Father God, as we stand here today, it's by your grace and your grace only. It's not about us. It's all about you. And I pray, folk, that everyone that is here today will have experienced your presence, will know the joy of being found in the palm of your hands, will know your protection, will know what it is to be in the ark. I pray, Father, that you will open our ears, that we will begin to hear what the Spirit is saying to this church. And as we face 2018, Father God, I pray that your Spirit would move upon us, that we will be led by your Spirit in the days following, that this town would not stand a chance, that it'll have to bow its knee and begin to worship you, that all evil will be taken away by the flood and the move of your Spirit in this town. Therefore, Father God, we commit ourselves into your hands. We commit this town into your hands. And we pray, Father, your blessing, your provision, your healing, and your touch upon our lives for 2018. Bless us indeed, I pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.